Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy-Denader, and I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have my inspiring friend, Robert Berry, back as my guest for Live Your Music. We will be talking about choices Robert is glad he has made throughout his life and why he's glad he made them. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, Margo. How are you? Weather's good, huh?
I don't know what the weather's like. I've got the shades drawn in my office here so that I can just focus. Yeah, focus and practice, right? You know?
That's
it's so weird.
Takes.
The last few years, I've been hearing those words over and over again just in my head, you know, and I think it's my intuition reminding me, I don't know, my inner being, whoever it is. Source energy.
Well, a lot
maybe.
Of people have, I mean, there's so much, is it ADD or ADHD where people, they are so scattered, there's something they should be doing, but then something pops in their mind, they do something else. I see a whole lot more of that going on today than I used to. People used to be more focused, so I think there's just too many choices in the world.
I agree. In fact, you know, I think that a lot of the people that get diagnosed with that, it's because, like you said, there's so many choices and distractions.
Yeah.
If I don't tell myself focus and practice, and be in the moment and all that stuff. You know, those are things I tell myself a lot, and that helps me stay in the moment. But, boy, I can get distracted really easily myself.
Yeah, there's too many things. Like, you know, the only time I'm super focused is, of course, when I'm doing music, when you see me at the studio here. Even at
mm-hmm.
night, you know, I sit when Rebecca goes to bed. She's a teacher, gets up 5:30, so she goes to bed like 10. So
mm-hmm.
I'll sit there with my iPad or my phone, working on lyrics and stuff, and I'm focused then. But when I have, like, the weekend off or something, either I don't know what I'm going to do or I don't do what I need to do. I'm, like, all over the map, you know. But there's nothing wrong with that either. It's all – life is just supposed to be fun and enjoying
mm-hmm.
what you enjoy, right? So.
Yeah, that is so true. So true. My teachers – from Abraham Hicks say that life is supposed to be fun. And, you know, I think a lot of people didn't get that memo.
Well, it's tough, especially in Silicon Valley here, where you have to work these high-tech jobs and stuff. A lot
yeah.
of people that aren't doing the part of high-tech they want to do, they're stuck in back of a computer, because it looks like they're locked behind it to me. But, you know, their whole job's a computer, and they just work their 10-hour days and want to get out of there, and I don't know how much everybody enjoys that. You know, I guess it's a different world for me. I guess I really shouldn't judge it because I don't live in that world. A lot of people do like that. Anyway, to get on something
really
more positive.
I don't think it's really judging, Robert. It's just saying that you don't understand it because you haven't been part of it. I feel the same way. I haven't been a part of it. And to me, freedom of choice and freedom and flexibility, all those words are so important to me that, you know, that's part of why I like doing a variety of things.
Well, yeah, and, you know, at the age a lot of my friends are and stuff, they're retiring. I'm like, really? They can't wait to get out of their jobs and retire.
Uh-huh.
And me, I'm hoping I can sing till I'm 85. You know, I'm looking way down the road saying, oh, yeah, I still got a lot of years left. I don't want to retire. I love what I do. If I retire, I'm not sure how that will work for me. You know, I don't know. And, of course, they come by here because they have nothing to do once they retire. Hey, how you
yeah,
doing? I'm working.
You.
I'm in a session. Sorry, I can't talk. Go away. I'm still doing what I do, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You need to get a sign that you can put up on the door saying, go away, I'm in a session.
If you retire, do not enter.
If you're retired, yeah. Do not enter. I love that.
You remind when you sent me a poster of the show, which looked really nice, you reminded me what I was trying to influence my kids when they were very young of how you achieve what you want to achieve, the four P's they came up with from my daughter, mainly. She's
uh-huh.
my first child, and purpose, persistence, patience, and personality. I went, I haven't thought about that for so long. And it still holds true even for me. You know, I'm looking at things. I have this new band, which you know was in the studio for the last 9 days here. That's my purpose, mm-hmm. you know. The persistence was making sure we got everything done, and it was a lot of work. We did all the drums to 10 songs. We did video to 3 songs, 2 different photographer sessions, eating, you know, dinners, hanging out a little bit because, you know, Nigel's in England and Ian's in Canada, so we're not next to each other even though we're talking all the time.
Right.
And so the persistence of getting it done, then it took a lot of patience for me because they were in my realm here, you know, staying at my house. And then, of course, the magic key to the band is that all the personalities get along. And when I saw that, I went, yeah, I remember that I talked to you about that, and personality was one. And I believe initially, personality, yeah, I said, if you, people have to know your personality, if they like you for who you are, you'll get along forever, or they'll do anything for you. And if they don't like you, you know, it's just not going to work out. And these guys in 6x6, we get along so well. And it's just, at this point in my career, to have another chance to do something wonderful, I really feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to the personalities. All the rest of it is important. But they're all pros. They all do high-level work. But if our personalities didn't get along, forget it, right? Then, which comes to me talking about some of the choices you're talking about, too, that I've made, been because of the personality piece of things that I've made. Some hard choices that I didn't know would serve me right, you know. So anyway.
Well, I'd like to talk to you more about those for sure. But I just wanted to say about the 4 P's. I mean, when you told me about those, they impacted me so much that I wrote about them in my book. They're in the book and told the story in the book about when Alexandra wanted to get a horse and use those as examples, how you taught her about them. It's just,
and here's
it's
how
so
you get
true.
That horse, because I can't afford a horse. So we're going to have to figure out all these things, you know, and she did.
But you're right. I mean, it starts with having a purpose, a why, and persistence for sure. You know me, I'm pretty persistent. Patience. Yeah. Well, Dudley's always telling me I'm not patient, but, you know, if he only knew what impatience really looked like and he'd say I was patient.
He'd be hanging off the back into the water there.
And then personality. You know, it's like you said, getting along with people, people trusting you and feeling comfortable with you. Somebody shared, I can't remember who it was, Maya Angelou's quote that I love so much this morning on Instagram. I think they shared it. But it's people will forget what you said. They'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And it's true, whether good or bad. You know, I mean, they're going to not forget how you made them feel.
I have to tell you a funny story that applies to that just real quick. Last album, the first album for 6x6, Rob Fowler, my longtime friend, guitar player from the Barbara Gray Band, does all the graphic arts, does the covers, the album covers and everything. He came down to take some pictures in the studio. And when he met Ian, he shook his hand. And Rob's got a big, strong hand. He has a ranch.
Oh, God,
and he's working
all the
time.
Did he crush his
hand? He really squeezed it. And Ian still talks. He goes, man, that Rob Fowler, he's a strong guy. Is he going to come down and see us? I'd like to see him. Right? Rob left an impression, a positive one, and Ian always asked about him. And so Rob came down just the other night to say hi, and I think Ian sort of held his hand back. But it was a great, happy, positive first impression. And that's the only time that Ian's seen Rob, except for he does a lot of posters and all kinds of stuff for us, you know. Perfect example of that, the first impression and a good impression and a happy impression. I got some people that come in that I go, oh, geez, here comes Mr. Downer. I got to make sure this is a short conversation, you know. I don't want to
yeah.
deal with that. I don't want my day brought down. Someone's relying on me to do music for them to birth their child, you know, kind of. And can't have negative people around too much. Anyway, sidetrack, but you know me.
It's true. Well, you know, I've been waiting to put this comment in. Dudley walked in a little while ago and said, comment at WCS after playing Why, the song Why that you recorded for quite a while ago on, I don't even remember which of the two albums it's on, explaining Robert's additions. Oh, yeah. So we played the actual, instead of just singing it and him playing guitar, during our Zooms the last couple of times, we've been playing songs that are actually from the finished CDs, the albums. And somebody said, you've been buried. Yep. Every time
I've
we go there, we get
before.
Buried.
You know, when you look, I do about 100 songs a year for people where I play the backing tracks, let's say, you know. Like Dudley plays guitar, so he plays the guitar, you two sing, and then the rest of it's up to me to you know, fill that in for you so you have a full production.
Right.
And I do about 100 a year, and I think of all the years I've been doing it, 40 years of doing that, that's a lot of songs. And I look at my wall here in the lobby of all the people who put out CDs and all the work. And it's not overwhelming, but it's like I feel like I didn't do any of it because every one of those songs, I was in the moment, totally focused. That was the only thing in my life. And you've seen me do that, so you know what I'm talking about, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But when it's done, I get back and I look at it. So for someone to say you've been buried, that's interesting. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new saying that will stick. You've been buried.
Oh, my God. I hope it's not B-U-R-I-E-D.
B-E-R-R-I-E-D.
Yeah.
You spelled it out on the
post-it. Apostrophe D, buried. No, that's cute.
Oh, yeah, I like it with B-E-R-R-Y, apostrophe D. That's a good idea. Okay, cool. Well, oh God! Now I derailed my own train of thought.
Yeah, I'm just talking way too much about too much stuff. I apologize.
No. That's this one. I'm not planning to play any songs. I just wanted us to have a chance to talk and to also talk about, like I said, choices we've made throughout our lives, especially you. I mean, this is about you, and why you're glad you made them. Because I mean, there's a lot of choices that people make that they're not glad that they made. And I think it's important to look back and go, oh, what are some of the choices I'm most glad I've made throughout my life? I've been thinking about how I answer that question a lot lately, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it. But do you realize this coming November is going to be 20 years since Dudley and I came down and you recorded the first songs for us?
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that's something we're super glad we did back then. And
there
that
was
we
a
kept
choice,
doing
huh?
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the first time I had done music with Dudley, too. We just hit it right off. It's just, you know, you got to remember that everybody that comes into Soundtech here has – they're birthing their baby. It's, you know, they put their heart and soul into it, and they have a preconceived kind of notion of maybe not exactly what they do want, but they know what they don't want. And then they filter it through me all of a sudden. I listen to it, and I go, oh, that's really good. You know, we could do this or whatever. And there has to be a meeting of the minds and the heart and everything to get everybody happy. Now, it doesn't have to be done my way, but I want it to a certain standard, and I want to offer everything I can offer, but it has to make sense to you guys, right? So that first song was really important to that. And I can remember Dudley and I have a little bit of tug-of-war stuff about stuff he wanted to do. And
I don't remember that part specifically, but, yeah. We love how
I just told
out.
Him. I just told him, no, Dudley, it's going to be my way. No, I didn't say that.
Well,
yeah, like
I
get away with that. There was things that you know, he had things he wanted to do, and we accomplished it. And my job, that certain point was to get it toward the high standard that I want you guys to have. And it, if that wouldn't have worked out on that first one, you guys wouldn't have come back here for friends or not, you know?
Yeah.
So it was good.
Well, I believe I'm correct in saying that the first, very first time, because I think there were a couple of them that you did that first time, but the one I remember most is called Found in Time, Lost in Space, Found in Time.
Yeah.
And that is still one of our absolute favorites. I mean, well, we have a lot of favorites of songs that you've created for us over the years. But that one is still one of our favorite ones to listen to on the CD and sing along with in the car. It's also one of our favorites for Dudley to play his guitar and us to sing live.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels so good. And personally, there's nothing I would change about it. I don't know.
And what people don't realize, too, is that being the first song, I actually had to learn how to record Dudley's voice, too. And it sounds really good on that song. But, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of microphones, all kinds of equipment. And everybody sounds different on different equipment and things. And it just happened that worked. It was just a magical piece of music and a day that all worked. And they usually do work. I've done this a lot, so I should at least be good enough to make it work. But, you know, sometimes you never know. It's sometimes a little more of a struggle, and that was not a struggle at all.
Well, you know, it's like you said, back to personality, you know. The personality is, it has, you have to have similar tastes. You have to have similar enough tastes. It doesn't have to be the same, but it has to be similar enough so that you understand each other. And you guys definitely do, you know, and the three of us have so much fun whenever we're down there. Yeah.
Now, you had asked me about choices that I made, and I told you I had a couple of them that I had to make. And all I quote my friend and Hush bass player Gene Perrault when I made this choice when I was in England, and it was really hard on me. And he said, you know, every problem can be solved. You might not like the solution, but you can solve it. And I was working my first big break in the band called GTR with Steve Howe, who's a guitar player from Yes, one of my heroes. And here I'm
playing
in a band with him, and I'm writing all the songs with him. I mean, not by myself, but with Steve. We're just doing really good, and I love it. And a lot of those songs are on Pilgrimage to a Point, so you know the songs I'm talking about.
I love that album.
Yeah, the singer was harassing me so much because he didn't want me singing. He didn't like the idea that I was the new guy, the only American. No, everything about it was just wrong for him. But for me, everything was right except for him.
Uh-huh.
He harassed me so bad that actually here's this guy. My only success was locally here, regionally. Here I am in England with, you know, playing with one of my heroes. I quit the band. I said, you've got all the songs you need for your album. I can't live my life like this. I'm a happy guy. I'm a positive guy. And this guy is just dragging me down all the time. And that was really hard because I was going to come back home and just work in the studio and give up my dream of having a hit record or whatever. And because of that decision, a couple of days later, Keith Emerson called me. Here, you're available. I like your music. Let's get together and talk. So that decision, which was really hard, and you know, I never get depressed, but I was a little down from, you know, leaving Steve Howe. It led to something really great. I did the same thing with Ambrosia. I loved playing Ambrosia. That could have been my home for the rest of my life. I loved the music, loved the guys, but I couldn't get them to do a new album. And you know me, I'm putting out albums every couple of years anyway. I just love staying viable in the business and expressing the music in song and something new. After 2 years, I got them together. I said, guys, I have to leave. I said, it's just playing gigs isn't enough. We need to be proud of something new and excited and keep the juices flowing, you know, for it to be a real band. So I'm leaving. And I thought, okay, well, that's it. You know, that was 2006. I don't know when it was, something in the 2000s.
Yeah, who knows what year it was.
And I thought, okay, well, that's probably it. And Greg Kinn calls me on the radio. He had a big show here. He goes, hey, Robert, I need a bass player. You interested? I went, yes. Right? Didn't even think about it. I thought, well, there it is, Greg Kinn. And Greg Kinn and I, we did an album. It took about 5 years for the first one. We have another one all done, but he's sort of retired now, so he doesn't really want to keep going. Some people do that, you know. They just get tired of touring and playing. But it was great because every Thursday, Greg would come down. We'd write songs. We did all kinds of stuff. It was creative. The juices were flowing. And so another hard decision led to something really good. And one door closes, another one opens. And too many times I think people sit there, they're not happy with what's going on, and they're not willing to take that chance, that gamble.
Yeah.
And,
well,
I have found
you know,
it's
and you
good.
Have to pay, what I'm hearing too, that is a reminder for all of us, is that you have to pay attention to how you're feeling. Because
Yeah,
I mean, if you're feeling, we can feel, as humans, we can feel vibes. We can feel what other people are thinking, even if they're not saying it. And communication is like with your eyes, your ears, and your heart. It's all three. It's not just with your ears. You know, if somebody's frowning and negative and everything, but they're saying nice things, you're not going to believe them. You know, so if it feels wrong, you have to trust your heart, and sometimes, like you did, trust your heart and do what seems like, oh my God, what am I doing? But look what happened. And
I've always had good intuition that came, I think, through my mom's side of my family, and it's served me very well, which is following your heart, basically. That so many things in my life shouldn't have happened the way they did, but I just thought, you know what, this seems like right, or this seems like what I should do. Or what. And I think you have to be open to those kind of things.
My teacher.
It's hard. You know?
Yeah. Well, my teacher, Sonia Choquette, taught me a lot about intuition, and she was saying that intuition is moment to moment. It's not like about what's going to happen later today, next week, next year, 10 years from now, whatever. It's moment to moment, and you have to feel what you're feeling and observing. And Dudley and I have been talking about this a lot lately, about situational awareness, being aware of what's going on around you. We saw a show that was talking about that. And so I've been paying more attention to when I'm driving, especially, you know, oh my God, situational awareness, Margo. But everywhere you go, you can pick up on the vibes of the moods of people and their like and their personality. A lot of it you can tell just by how you feel when you're with them.
That's half of my job. It's not just playing the instruments. It's picking up on what the unspoken piece of the music and listening to, you know, when people sing or with the lyrics or the guitar playing, you know, asking them, well, who's your favorite band? Or, oh, the Beatles. Oh, Metallica, you know, whatever it is. And putting it into the equation where I take that in and I let it sort of guide me with their music according to what they like, you know. I don't know if it's taken me years to do that, but that's part, again, of what I inherited from my mom, this intuition of, I don't know. But it is important. I think I know a lot of people that have good intuition. And then I know quite a few that would even think, maybe don't even know what the word means. You know,
oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you just said that, because we had one of our Toastmasters meetings recently. The theme was trust your intuition, right? Well, the person who was leading the meeting understood what it was. But one of the people in the club mentioned that he thought instinct was the same thing as intuition. And they're not. I mean, cats and dogs and animals and people all have instincts, but intuition, like you said, comes from your heart. It's like sometimes people call it their gut feeling, you know, but it's really more your heart feeling.
Yeah, life is interesting. I have had, as you know, the 6x6 guys in for 9 days now. And the things, you know, you do with the music and the recording and just eating dinner or you know, who goes to bed at what time, and, you know, who doesn't sleep well and get up, because they were at my house, you know.
Right.
All this stuff, there's no intuition involved in that. It's just people are different, you know. It's like, man, I was glad they were here. I'm so glad they're home now, because I need a break.
You know, no matter how much you love people, you need to have time away from them. And you need to, I mean, we all need, I believe, we all need time with people and time alone. And some people think they have to be with people all the time, and some people time alone. And to me, it's like kind of a dance almost between time alone, time with people, time alone, time with people. And, you know, that sort of thing. So I can totally get it. And you know what? The hardest time for me to be positive is when I'm tired. And you were saying that you were tired. And no wonder. I mean, you've had them there 9 days working on all that, the songs. And then
also,
just with them actually 24 hours a day for 9 days, right?
Well, yeah. You know, Ian barely sleeps. So he was, you know, you hear him getting up at 3 o'clock and getting a drink out of the refrigerator or something, and then you know, Rebecca gets up at 5:30, and there he was, you know, awake. Interesting. It was really good, because it's just real life, you know. And that this 6x6 band is a band. It's not a project. It's not something we're just going to throw out an album and, oh, okay, thanks guys. You know, we want to tour it. I mean, that's been held off till next year, but a tour. And we have a 3-album deal, and hopefully we go on past that, and it's fun. It was all in.
Well, what can you tell us about how many songs there's going to be for the next album, and anything that you can leak a little bit about what the songs are going to be like or anything?
You know, I will say, I think I said this before to you, you're not going to like it as well, because it's harder on the guitar stuff. It's heavier. There's not as much, smoother... It's just a hard, you know, a little bit harder album than the last one, as far as the rock stuff. It's 10 songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what it's. It really has evolved to be Ian, as the guitar player, as you know, more about more of his tone, and his solos are just really fantastic. But I'm trying to get him to even stretch out on him and do more than he's done before. So that's I call it the secret sauce of 6x6. You know, he has that guitar style that's unique to him. And I want to use that as much as possible. Just like it with Keith Emerson, you know, you don't work with him and not want him to shine on the albums, that's for sure. You know, we did parts for 3 videos. I will say that I have high hopes. A client of mine who works for a company that does all kinds of video stuff has access to, which I'm worried about this AI stuff that's going on, artificial intelligence. But
yeah, I haven't looked into that much.
He has access to a video program that makes a video out of what you send him. You tell him what you want it to do, and it will do all the effects and turn you into cartoons and monkeys and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my.
And one of them, yeah, he's done something for the Rolling Stones recently he showed me that was just incredible.
Wow.
So I don't know what he's going to do, but he's offered to do a video for us, and I'm just sort of getting the parts ready to send over to him and see what happens. You know, he sent me a few roughs of Nigel playing drums where it sort of looked like the Yellow Submarine, like the Beatles or something. He goes, look, this is just a sample. This isn't what I'm going to do, but look at what I've – this was just really quick, and it looked so cool, all the colors and everything. And
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, colors.
Yeah, and as much as I worry about the AI stuff, and I think it's going to take too many jobs and hurt too many people, there are certain things, like editing video, that this kind of thing where it's all affected and cartoonized and all the things, it would be almost impossible to do without a team of 50 people, you know, like Disney uses some of it for their cartoons. So,
right.
You know,
but you're right. It is concerning that how many jobs it could take away.
Well, this whole valley is going to be empty buildings, because anybody that works behind a computer screen can be replaced by AI.
Wow.
And that's not good. Well, you know, what... you sit down. Right now, my PR friend here, he says he used to have two people do write up the press releases and edit it and, you know, give them ideas, and now he sits down with one of these programs and he tells it, you know, here's the company, what they want to do now, here's what they did then, here's some visuals, this and that, put together a press release for me. And 10 minutes later, bang, there it is, and he just changes a few words that, you know, he would say, and it's done, where it used to take at least a day and 2 days sometimes to get those things fine-tuned. Very scary.
It is scary, but, you know, Dudley just handed me another note that he saw, I got an email recently about AI that really interested him, and it was saying, in the email it was saying that AI might be able to cure cancer.
It works so much faster than human beings that, yeah, I've seen that too, but...
How would they do it, though? I mean, I don't know how they would do it. But
you feed it all the information of what does what and how this does this, and it actually comes up with something that we didn't think of. You know, it's...
Yeah, I think he said that it supposedly can actually change the cells.
It can probably program a machine to change the cells.
Something like that. I didn't read the article, but...
The problem, like Elon Musk says, he's worried about it because AI has to be programmed by somebody.
Yeah.
So you can give the AI false, you know, like fake news, let's say. Like we have all this stupid stuff going on where nobody agrees and you can't even understand what they're saying on the TV or the radio about anything, if it's true or not. Well, they have to just feed the AI the wrong information. It'll take care of putting it out everywhere. And that's an awful thought. But why do I want to talk about negative thoughts? Forget that. I'm done with AI.
We don't.
It'll make live music more, because AI can actually create music too, but live musicians it can't create. So we'll be able to play more live and people come out and enjoy the interaction.
Exactly, the interaction and getting, that's definitely true.
And by the way, Dudley's not fooling me. I know he's already using it because he gets into that computer stuff. So there you go. See? He keeps bringing in these great new things he's doing. It's the AI doing it on his computer. Don't let him fool you like that.
Well, for graphic design and photography, you're right. We do, in our graphic design and photography business, use computers a lot, and especially design and Photoshop, sometimes Adobe Illustrator. But, the funny thing is when those programs came out, people were like, oh, I can get that, and I don't need you anymore. You know, I can just kind of pour the ideas into my computer, and it'll all turn out.
Except for AI, the thinking part now. So you put Photoshop up, and you tell AI, well, I want to redesign this building, but I want it to have all glass and blah, 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 blah. You know, you give it all the parameters, and it does it. Of course, the thing is that somebody has to know the parameters. So that's I still think...
It still seems like there's going to be needed, like with us, you know, people needed that can actually have experience and taste and...
And ideas, yeah.
And ideas, yeah. Instead of just pouring some canned ideas into a thing. Anyway, but we're getting off of the topic here, you know, really. I mean, it's back to choices. But, you know, I saw a funny thing on... Craig Ferguson on Instagram today, he was doing a joke about how, you know, in the old days, we used to actually fact check things before we put them out in newspapers. He goes, now it's like you tweet it, and then you tweet it again, and you tweet it again and again, and then, boop, it's true. So then he starts talking how Reese Witherspoon is 6'1". He says he's tweeted enough and everybody's going to believe it.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the new marketing tool, I guess.
Yeah, repeat. I don't know.
Actually, it's always been the marketing tool. That's the way people got hit songs. Top 40 radio, and they'd play it over and over again, so you heard it so many times, you liked it, if you liked it or not.
Yeah, you know, I have to say I do miss the old days in a lot of ways. You know, I miss when there were radio stations that I like to listen to, and I listened to them, and then I would hear the new things on them and the people talking about the songs. And I did like always the ones better where they would tell you the name of the song and who did it, though, because back when I first met you, I was working at the record stores while I was going to college, and Tower Records Campbell, and people would come in and they would say, I want the song that says this, this, and this. And they remember the parts that, like the chorus or the hook or whatever. And a lot of people don't even name the song something that people would recognize. So, you know.
Yeah. It's repetition. Anyway, it's all good.
It is. Well, we've got 9 minutes left. So what do you most want to talk about choices that you've made throughout your life that you're glad you made?
Well, really the most important ones, I've told you that, you know, two bands that were very big bands, I actually left, and opportunities arose out of that. But, you know, I think the big choice I make for myself is I'm very positive. I want every day, I want to succeed at something, but I don't look back toward yesterday. So it's sort of hard for me to remember some of this stuff because I'm always looking about what can I do tomorrow that's going to, you know, not especially make me successful, but make me feel viable in my chosen field or in my marriage, my life, something. You know, what can I do? Like we look down the road to, you know, Rebecca's daughter, Taylor is a runner for Puma. We're going to go visit her this weekend. You know, we never get to go visit her where she goes because they're always training in altitude and other states and countries, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be really fun for Rebecca, too, to see her daughter in her, not her habitat, but, you know, where she's in Mammoth or something up in the altitude running, and just cool stuff. I mean, I look for what I can accomplish tomorrow, and I try to do a good job and make a difference today. And that's a choice I make all the time.
And see, that's the thing. Life is choices. It's full of choices constantly, you know. And I think the most important thing I've noticed is to actually make them consciously instead of let other people kind of push you in a direction and make your choices.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I have to say I'm most glad about is that back in like 1993, I think it was, you said, let's me be me. And I went, oh, my God, I need to be me.
Yeah.
It's really important. It's important to be who we are.
I think so. You know, the lucky people know what they like and what they want to do, and they just need to follow through, right, and make those choices that make them happy. And hopefully, if they make the right choices and they focus and work hard enough at it, that becomes part of their career, too.
But the other thing, too, is that I think that it's important that people look for things that make them feel happy. So actually think about that. And I was telling you that I also wanted to talk about what I call the 7 C's, and that came about through a friend of ours that we really love a lot, who is in has been in my Toastmasters club during the last 10 years. And I just were things I noticed with him and other people, that including you. So their connection, communication, curiosity, creativity, collaboration, celebration, and contribution. And they, you know, a lot of people have said, oh, Margo, there's a lot of other C's. You know, compassion's not on there and all this, you know. And actually, the word choices isn't even on there. But, you know, if you think about it, it's, okay, personality, connection. You have to feel a connection with people. You have to be able to have communication with them. And you have to be curious about each other, I think, in order, like you are, you're curious. Well, what are your favorite albums or songs or bands or whatever, so that you can get an idea of what those people do. And then creativity, realizing that we're all creative and that it can be really fun to use your creativity and to use it in collaboration with other people, and then to celebrate each little success, you know, and contribution is, like, to me, so much bigger than just giving. It's like, how can I make a contribution today? I think that's, in a way, what you're thinking unconsciously. How can I contribute to this album or this moment or this relationship, you know?
Yeah. Some of those things, just a lot of people seem like second nature. But then again, other people, they struggle to think like this or feel like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of books on tapes for people down here, you know, where they record their story and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a couple lately. They're just amazing. One for a woman at Apple, Chinese lady who was raised in China, and they tried to hold her down because she had polio and they didn't want her to get a good education. She's a woman, all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she runs like two divisions of Apple. She developed the cloud for Apple. She's an amazing woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she just... from day one, even in, you know, growing up in China where they were trying to hold the women back,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't going for it. She's just going to make a difference and move forward. And it's just amazing to hear these stories of people that have that internalized. It's just part of who they are. But then
mm-hmm.
again, I did another one for a guy who had to get through his anxiety and everything else to become successful. And he became a pastor at a church. And he had to get there. He had to realize these positive things and how to view people and himself. I learned so much when I do these things from people's struggles, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one of the things I love to do, is to learn from what happens with other people.
Yeah.
By reading books, fiction and nonfiction, you can learn from other people's choices and decisions and that sort of thing. Well, during our last 3 minutes, because we're down to 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you want to say? What do you want to leave our listeners with during the last we have with them today?
You know what I've been thinking about a lot? Because we go out, we go to dinner, I go to the doctor. COVID is just a cold now. People are so
mm-hmm.
much more comfortable with it. Unless you have a condition, you need to be careful because you don't want to get the flu or anything anyway.
Right.
And it just, everybody seems so much happier. They went through this together. It's like, you know, going to war and then it's over. You go, oh, God, I'm so glad that's over. Kind of what we did, went to war with this thing. And people
mm-hmm.
are happy. They're feeling more free. I think at least the older generation, anybody over 40, let's say, they're appreciating
mm-hmm.
that freedom, you know, not being locked in their house, being able to go to work instead of having to work from home, all the things that was taken away from us from this stupid virus,
mm-hmm.
it's really, it's starting to feel normal. Everybody's out touring, all the bands are out, you know, and it's really a good feeling. So I've been kind of happy with and summer's coming on. The sun is starting to come out.
Yeah, I love blue sky and sunshine. Warm, golden
yep.
sunshine. Woohoo!
All positive now, you know, and
yeah.
we'll just keep our thoughts positive and hope everything stays the way it is.
Yeah, contrast, like you were saying, contrast definitely clarifies your preferences, and that the last 3 years have really clarified a lot of preferences for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Definitely.
It's the time of the show where I want to say to everybody out there, listen to your heart. What have you always wanted to do? You can do it, even if you don't do it for your paid job, because it'll make you happier. So whatever it is, listen to your heart and live your music. That's what it means. It means enjoy your life. And I have to say thank you, Robert. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the ways you live your music and all the ways that you help us live our music as well. You are amazing.
Well, thanks for having me on again. And as always, I'm back into a session as soon as we're done. So that's I just love doing it. Can't help myself.
What? The sessions, yeah, yeah.
You think I'd get tired of it after a while, you know, but no, I just love everything about recording and playing, and it never gets old.
Oh, I'm really glad. We will be back down there as soon as we can coordinate our schedule with yours.
Cool.
So,
all right.
Bye. All right. Bye for now, Robert. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, live your music.